This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to ask a great question. Why is it that the evil, utterly dictatorial and impoverished regime of Cuba has been able to survive and to work its will on a hapless populace up until now for 60 years? 60 years! How'd they do it? What's the secret? And what is the secret that basically young people don't confront when they actually tell you, and about half of Americans do, below the age of 35, the so-called famous millennials, people say they have a positive view of socialism. How does Cuba direct that question? We will get to that with Charles Lipson, who is a professor emeritus of political science at University of Chicago. He's been a great friend of the show. He is somebody who has written an extraordinary number of books, including Reliable Partners, How Democracies Have Made a Separate Peace. Charles, thanks for this great column, which we've just posted on the question mark Cuba Libre. What's the secret of the Castro regime, even without Castro and its survivability?
It's a great question, Michael. I think that almost all of these dictatorial regimes make it virtually impossible for people to organize. They do it through constant spying and by preventing groups from meeting. You know, when we talk about the First Amendment in the United States, we think of it as free speech, but it also includes the right to assemble. And it's those two things combined that really give it political power. And if you think about the American South, when blacks were segregated, where did all of the political leadership come from? It came from the churches, where people could meet as a group. Of course, there were very articulate leaders in the churches and so forth, but it was one of the few places where they could actually meet. So you have spying, you prevent meeting, you don't allow free speech, and then the United States, for a long time, basically did nothing. Then President Trump really began to push them, and then after President Obama had begun to really open things up again. You hadn't heard anything, by the way, from all of these people who believe that if you open things up to Cuba, things would get better. They haven't. You haven't heard from Major League Baseball, which had big initiatives. And you have heard from Black Lives Matter, which is actually supporting the Cuban regime, which is just outrageous.
Okay, what is the latest? I know that Raul Castro came out of his groundhog hole and at least showed that he was still alive at age 90. But is it fair to say that the regime is at least beginning to totter?
It's very difficult to know when regimes will fall, because regimes don't bend like a willow tree and then eventually break. They break like glass. There's more and more pressure on them, and then all of a sudden they fracture all of a moment. I mean, look at what happened to Chavez's regime in Venezuela. He was a charismatic leader from the left. He was replaced by somebody who's just a kind of functionary bureaucrat, but they still have control of the military, and the military has kept them in power, and that's true also in Cuba. So it's really hard to know, but I would just say that it also opens a big avenue. If I were sitting in Beijing in a foreign policy position there, I would say now is a good time to offer aid to the Cubans, right, and get a place, possibly even a naval base that's just 90 miles from Florida. They need support, and I suppose both the Russians and the Chinese could give it.
I know that one of the big prides of the Cuban regime has always been something Michael Moore made a movie about how wonderful medical care was in Cuba, and Cuba was sending doctors that they trained out to other countries like Venezuela. And from what I understand, it's because of that bragging about their great medical advances that the failure of their vaccination program, their failure of trying to curb COVID-19, which apparently is particularly painful in Venezuela, their satellite, that with all of that going on, it has had a great impact in terms of any confidence in the so-called revolution. Do you think that's right?
Yeah, that sounds right to me. Basically, the two things that the regime puts a high priority on were literacy, and they did have a big literacy program, and medical care. In effect, what they did was trained a lot of nurses. Some were called doctors and so forth, but it was very low technology care. But at least for many years, it did offer some care to people. Now, of course, you actually need the vaccines. And when I've written about the vaccines, one of the points that I've made is not just that American technology was so important. These profit-making companies doing work to produce these vaccines and tests, but the fact that the United States is rich enough to afford to buy and distribute the vaccines. And indeed, under Trump, it made a point of buying the vaccines in large doses, millions of doses, before the vaccine had been approved. It was possible the vaccine would fail at the final stage, wouldn't be approved, and billions of dollars would be wasted. But because the United States is rich, we could afford to take that bet so that we could save a month or so in getting the vaccine out to people.
In your column, there's a wonderful story that I had not heard before. And it's a story about Joseph Stalin, one mm-hmm. of the bloodiest dictators of all time, mm-hmm. who actually wanted to make it sure that the Russian people saw an American movie. Tell the American people he wanted everyone in Russia to see.
Yeah, the movie about the Okies, the people who fled from Oklahoma and the Dust Bowl, in the 1930s, it went out to California, and John Steinbeck wrote a very famous novel, The Grapes of Wrath. By the way, among the people who were in that camp was Roy Rogers, in that camp in California. His parents had fled Ohio. But that was something that Stalin was just delighted to show his people. Oh, this is how awful things are in America.
Yeah, how much suffering. It's a great film by Henry Fonda, of course.
Absolutely. And Stalin was just delighted until the people in Russia, in the Soviet Union, noticed that even the poorest Americans had a truck. That's something that nobody in the Soviet Union had. Even collective farms didn't have them. And so they had to withdraw the film. But I think people don't. If you look back at 19th century novels, what were people doing? They were darning holes in socks. Even the poorest people in America don't darn holes in socks, right? I mean, we just have so much wealth that even people who are relatively poor in America have far more wealth than people a century ago had, even in fairly prosperous countries.
What they really have is not somehow an inherited wealth, is the ability to create it, which is a great deal of what Charles Lipson's work has been about. His column and other information about Dr. Lipson's work is posted up at michaelmedved.com. We'll be coming up with the latest scam in the Washington state government concerning fish. No, really, fish and dams. That coming up and more from Washington Policy Center, coming up on the Michael Medved Show. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook of me reading every single word of, I think, one of the most important books that's out there right now. And it comes to you together with an MP3 player, so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audio book and hardcover book bundle. This can be an important tool in combating some of the toxic lies about America. God's Hand on America, Divine Providence in the Modern Era at michaelmedved.com or medvedhistorystore.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of My Pillow, here to tell you about my Giza Dream bed sheets. I made sure that they would be everything you'd ever want in a sheet set. I started with the world's finest cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all meet. The long staple cotton makes my Giza Dream sheets ultra soft and durable. They come with extra wide pillowcases to fit over any pillow and extra deep pockets to fit over any mattress. Not only that, they come with my 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. I personally guarantee that they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
That's two for one low price, plus free shipping. Call 800-320-6280 or MyPillow.com, promo code MedVet. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MedVet for these great radio specials.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Michael Medved Show, one of the things that there is always so much to cover, I find myself, whenever I'm done with the show, I start thinking about, should have said this, should have covered this, should have brought this out to people. And that was actually one of the reactions I had after doing the live show yesterday from the Reagan Library. Because what I didn't mention is something that's very directly to this romance with communism that a lot of people seem to still have, and has to do with Cuba and the so-called Cuban Revolution. What does it have to do with Cuba? Let me tell you. Yesterday was Bastille Day. Yesterday was a big national holiday, and they still celebrate it in France. And what it calls to attention is how almost never are revolutions successful. I mean, the French Revolution was a disaster. It was a horror. That because, first of all, it did not bring liberty, equality, and fraternity. There were 25,000 civilians who were killed, executed. There were nuns who were executed because they refused to give up their Catholic faith. There's actually a famous opera about it by a great French composer named Francis Poulenc. But the idea that the French Revolution doesn't lead to some kind of Marseillaise flying in the wind. It leads to Napoleon, for God's sake, with 20 full years of uninterrupted warfare. And basically, in terms of the way that ordinary people live their lives across Europe because of Napoleon, because of the French Revolution, which followed, look what happened with the Russian Revolution. I mean, nobody, we're talking about Stalin. There were countless millions who were starved to death and put into gulags. This was the result of the Russian Revolution. And one can go on, the Chinese Revolution, need I say more, the Cuban Revolution. And when people talk about the United States, I don't know, guilty, guilty, horrible, horrible country, it truly is, without any question, and no one else close, the most successful revolution in history. And partially because, unlike most other revolutions, you don't get rid of one tyrant and then go directly to another. You get rid of one tyrant, and you all of a sudden have a constitution that lasts for 250 years. This is unique in the history of the world. And some of this, you can see the great desire to make it not unique and to try to justify revolution. Like, think about the Cuban Revolution with all of the brutality and all of the stalled economy. And one of the points that Charles Lipson makes clear is that the economic dimension is illustrated by a factoid. Cuban Americans have a population of 2.4 million people. Now, 2.4 million people who came to the United States from Cuba. They earn more than the entire island of Cuba with 11.3 million people. And he points out this is not because Cuban Americans are a particularly high-earning immigrant group. It's quite the contrary. They rank 73rd, well behind immigrant groups like Americans from India or Chinese Americans. But despite ranking 73rd among U.S. ethnic groups, Cuban Americans' families earn more in total than all the Cuban families combined. Those in the United States earn eight times as much. There's a stunning difference, and it happened within a single lifetime. Because in America, there is the chance to build wealth and to build an economy. Now, of course, that doesn't stop people who are in love with Fidel Castro from trying to justify all kinds of progress by the so-called Cuban Revolution of 1959. I remember Nicole Hannah-Jones from the 1619 Project. This is fascinating. They just audio some unearthed ancient documents, actually something she said so long ago. She actually said it in 2019. It wasn't long ago. She was on a Vox podcast listen to what she said about Cuba and the success of socialism. This is a clip 16.
If you want to see the most equal multiracial, it's not a democracy, most equal multiracial country in our hemisphere, it would be Cuba. Cuba has the least inequality between black and white people of any place really in the hemisphere. The Caribbean, most of the Caribbean, it's hard to count because the white population in a lot of those countries is very, very small. They're countries run by black folks. But in places that are truly, at least biracial countries, Cuba actually has the least inequality. And that's largely due to socialism, which I'm sure no one wants to hear.
Okay, they have the least inequality because they all are pathetically poor. Whites, blacks, said they can actually share the poverty directly and entertainingly, I'm sure. Speaking of entertainingly, there was also this from Jen Psaki today, the White House press secretary. She was asked by Peter Doocy, good job, Peter, on Fox News, asking a very direct question. Listen, this is clip 11.
Why are people leaving Cuba, or what is the process for them getting here? I can explain either of them, but you tell me.
Do you think that people are leaving Cuba because they don't like communism?
I think we've been pretty clear that we think people are leaving Cuba, or not leaving Cuba, or protesting in the streets all as well, because they are opposed to the oppression, to the mismanagement of the government in the country. And we certainly support their right to protest. We support their efforts to speak out against their treatment in Cuba.
Isn't it remarkable that she talks about the mismanagement of the country? And certainly there has been mismanagement of the country, but she won't say directly. Are people leaving Cuba and protesting in the street because they don't like communism? They say they don't like communism. That's what part of the demonstrators are saying. And the revolution has failed. Why would there be any reluctance on her part to make it so clear that communism hasn't worked? Here is Mitch McConnell, the Senate minority leader. Well, actually, we will get to Mitch McConnell. But before we do, we have a fascinating situation now about maybe good intentions to try to help issues of water and survival of salmon that are being terribly abused. Why? By the state government in Olympia. How? We will get to that and more with Washington Policy Center coming up.
The Michael Medved Show. All across America. This is The Michael Medved Show.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
New jobless claims are down, hitting their lowest level since early March of 2020, as the pandemic was shutting down the economy. The Labor Department reporting 360,000 Americans filed first-time claims for unemployment benefits last week. That number is still higher than most analysts were expecting. The number, however, is a drop from the previous week's revised total of 386,000. Florida Republican Congressman Brian Donald suggests that Black Lives Matter is on the wrong side regarding what is happening in Cuba after the organization put out a statement blaming the U.S. embargo for the country's unrest and praising the Cuban government.
And I find it ironic that BLM loved people protesting in the streets last year, but they don't want to put blame where blame resides, and that's with the communist dictatorship in Cuba.
This is USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Medved Show, when people are treating disease, you follow the Hippocratic Oath. The very first thing you say is, physician, do no harm. Right now, there are all kinds of problems. There was declared a drought in the state of Washington. And I know when you say people, state of Washington, you think green and water and plentiful rainfall. Well, drought conditions now in central and in eastern Washington. And the idea to cope with all of that? Well, the effort to spend literally billions of dollars to knock down dams. Is that a good idea? Will that help to solve some of the problems that we have environmentally right now? It's always fascinating to me to learn from Todd Myers, who is the director of the Center for the Environment at Washington Policy Center, which I'm very proud to support this show. Todd is one of the leading experts on free market environmental policy, and he has a new piece that's an anatomy of this plan to take down a whole series of dams for $9 billion. Is that what they're talking about on the Snake River, Todd? $9
billion? Well, it's broken up into several parts, but the total package is $33 billion to cover both the destruction of the dams and then replace the economic impacts and the other harm that would be caused by tearing down the dam. So the total number is $33.5 billion.
And what would that do to help our environment for that investment?
Very little. In fact, what the analysis shows is that it would do a lot of harm. The amount of carbon-free electricity provided by those dams is equivalent to all of the wind and solar power in Washington State combined. Now, imagine if I had said, you know what, we got to tear down every wind turbine and every solar panel in Washington State, the reaction that people would have, and yet some of the environmentalists are essentially offering to do that. In exchange, what they hope is that tearing down the dams will help salmon runs on the Snake River. But even advocates admit that it will take decades for those runs to see any sort of meaningful increase. So it is a huge impact today for theoretical benefits in the future.
Is there any reliable way to actually help the survival of salmon runs, which I do think that many Washingtonians, reasonable Washingtonians, care about?
There are lots of things we can do to help salmon runs improve their habitat, reduce predation by seals and sea lions, which people don't like to talk about. But when you talk to scientists in Puget Sound and at the Columbia River, they say that's literally one of the top problems that we have right now. So there are a number of things that we can do. Spending $33.5 billion just on destroying dams is really an incredible waste of money. And just to put it in context, Washington State spends about $100 million a year on salmon recovery, basically statewide. What we're talking about here is more than 300 years worth of funding of salmon recovery to do, to focus on one river in one place to do one thing for theoretical long-term gains. Doesn't mean that the salmon on the Snake River, the spring run of Chinook, aren't in trouble. They are, and we need to do things to help them. But we need to do things in a lot of other places, too, and this is just, it's too much money for one place for very small benefits.
Is the chief push for the taking down the dams on the Snake River, is that coming from the federal government or Washington State or both?
It's kind of a mix. It's primarily environmental activists who have tried to keep this going. It got a big boost from a Republican member of Congress in Idaho who is proposing the $33.5 billion, but it has primarily come from environmental activists on the left who have routinely claimed that salmon on the Snake are about to go extinct. Most notably, in 1999, they took out a full-page ad in the New York Times claiming that by the year 2017, Snake River salmon would be extinct unless we tore down the dams. Well, 2017 rolled around, and the number of salmon was actually many times higher than it was in 1999. Not to be deterred, they declared again this year that salmon would be extinct in 5 years if we don't tear down the Snake River dam. So they keep making the same failed claims and hoping that some politicians will go along. And unfortunately, I think there's a few of them that are going along, even though their record of accuracy is very poor.
Okay, in terms of what we could do in something that actually we could afford that would be most effective, would one of the first things be actually taking care of the sea lions, which are eating all these salmon, which we're trying to help survive?
Absolutely, and it seems strange to say, but there is bipartisan agreement on this. So there was a salmon conference that I attended earlier this year. I'm a member of the Puget Sound Salmon Recovery Council, and they asked scientists what are the top things we can do to help salmon in Puget Sound. And the thing that got most agreement, almost 95% of agreement among scientists, was to reduce the seal and sea lion population. The same is true at the mouth of the Columbia. And the nice thing is that there was a piece of legislation sponsored by Jamie Herrera Butler and one of her Democrat counterparts in Oregon. And then it was sponsored by Democratic Senator Maria Cantwell in the Senate. So there was bipartisan agreement to allow a reduction of the number of seals and sea lions at the mouth of the Columbia and on the Willamette. We need to do more of that. It's uncomfortable to talk about because people don't like that, because we're not talking about capturing them and removing them. We tried that. That doesn't work. We actually have to talk about killing them and reducing the population. It's not the only...
The seals aren't in any endangered status, are they?
That's correct. They have recovered very nicely, but the laws that limit our ability to reduce the population are still there. So some of those laws have been eased a bit, but it's still a challenge.
Okay, when those laws are eased a bit, I mean, people also care not only about salmon, they care a great deal about orcas. And one of the symbols of the Puget Sound region, and we certainly want the whales and their pods to survive and thrive. They're also impacted by the seals eating up all the salmon, aren't they?
That's exactly right. The southern resident killer whales are endangered, whereas the seals and sea lions are not. And they are just simply being outcompeted by those seals and sea lions for their food. So the southern resident killer whales survive almost entirely on Chinook salmon. The transient whales, interestingly, will eat seals, but the southern resident killer whales will not. And so anything else that competes with them for that Chinook population puts pressure on them. So we're dealing with an endangered species, and we need to do something about the non-endangered species that is eating all their food.
In terms of the drought that is just front page of the paper today, what should we think about doing immediately?
Well, we should do a lot of things. We should ease up on water markets. We do have a real drought, and we need to put water where it is most valuable. Our current system of water allocation is very bureaucratic. It's very legal, and it makes it difficult to move water from where it's plentiful to where it's not. So the drought declaration is a good thing. Farmers were calling for it about a month ago, and they were turned down, but fortunately that changed direction, and now they have it. So it's a very complicated situation, but the other issue is we need to grow crops where they're most appropriate. A lot of this area is dry land, so it's mostly dry land, less irrigated, which is good. But really, we need to take the water, we need to store it, and then we need to move it where it's needed by putting a price on it rather than letting sort of, you know, 100-year-old laws and bureaucracy decide it.
Well, all of this is so important, and it, yes, is complicated, but one of the great things about the Washington Policy Center is they make it comprehensible and relevant. Go to our website. Don't stay on the sidelines. There's a big green banner with a little image of Mount Rainier on it. Go to Washington Policy Center. Make a difference for environmental issues and more with Todd Myers, who's director of the Center for the Environment at WPC. We will be right back.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee. And so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results. And after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone. But the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone. And so, therefore, my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654-PAIN, 833-654-PAIN.
Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
There are a series of crucial and very exciting elections that are coming up. One of them involves the former police chief of Detroit, who is a conservative. He's never run for office before. He's a tough and effective cop who, in a city that has long been known as a city with a very severe crime problem, this tough black cop has made a real difference, dramatic difference. There's a whole piece in Wall Street Journal about what he's achieved. He's now thinking of running for governor. And partially because Gretchen Whitmer, the current governor of Michigan, the Democratic governor of Michigan, has been extremely unpopular with her back and forth and wavering on the entire treatment of COVID-19 and the vaccination program and more. This is a very big deal. If James Craig runs for governor of Detroit, it could be an absolutely fascinating election. He's a very persuasive speaker and analyst and somebody who has a personal story coming from a very challenging background. He has a personal story that is also going to mean a great deal. When he announces for governor, which he's supposed to do, I believe, next week, I want to give a little bit more attention to what could be a very important campaign. There's also another campaign where Tom Kaine Jr., former moderate governor of New Jersey, Republican, he is son of. He is actually going to be running again for Congress, challenging Representative Tom Malinowski. And this is quite something, because last time out, he came within 1% of unseating Malinowski last year. He is making another run. And apparently the fundraising is going well, and it should be. Anytime you have a congressional incumbent who barely wins his seat with 1%, this is a one of those crucial congressional races that could change the entire context of the United States House of Representatives. And speaking of something that can change the entire context, We have gotten a terrific response. In fact, there are a number of people last night at the Reagan Library who came up and had traveled some distance and had become MedHead Plus members. What's MedHead Plus? We've had this our streaming service for a couple of years, and we are thrilled with the people who can get at a very low cost a streaming membership that costs about 11 cents a day, and you can stream our live broadcast, or you can download it anytime you want. It costs about 11 cents a day. And now there's a special offer to become a MedHead Plus member, which allows you to download any of the MedVed history programs at all, which is terrific. It means you can follow history of World War II. You can history the origins of the Civil War. We have a series on the origins of the Arab-Israeli conflict and the rebirth of the modern state of Israel. And, of course, the Revolutionary series, which is the most popular of them all. Now, all of that is available to you as a MedHead Plus member. And for a special offer for a limited time, that's going to be 20% off with everything coming with all the trimmings. Check it out. Go to the Michael Medved History Store or just to michaelmedved.com and click on the opportunity to become a MedHead Plus member. Okay, one of the things we were talking about before was the issue of Cuba and what it means, and what Americans, particularly younger Americans, should learn about it, because it's such an extraordinary thing. When I was in college, there was a guy, I even remember his name, but I won't tell it because it's too embarrassing. He's gone on to, I think, a much more successful career than you'd expect. But he went and spent a summer between sophomore and junior year, joining what was called the Vincente Ramos Brigade, the Victory Brigade, which was Cuban volunteers to work on the Cuban Revolution. And the idea that they would have to take college students from the United States who would volunteer to cut sugar cane because they didn't have any kind of economy that could even beginning to work. And this was, what is it, about 10 years after the Cuban Revolution. And they were going to build a revolution. And of course, the economic progress has been non-existent in Cuba. Cuba is still a desperately poor country. And Mitch McConnell had something to say about it on the Senate floor. This is clip 3.
After enduring 60-plus years of socialist tyranny, just 90 miles from American soil, the people of Cuba are telling the world they've had enough. Had enough. They've had enough of a regime that's stolen their dreams for decades. They've had enough of its stranglehold on information and on prosperity. They've had enough of its intimidation and its repression. The past week's demonstration in the streets of Havana should represent a major turning point in the Cuban people's movement toward liberation. The regime's failed communist ideology has saddled generations of Cubans with a backward economy, inadequate services, and no means of justice or dissent. Now some naive Americans on the left seem intent on once again running interference for the Cuban regime. They still buy the propaganda that Cuba is a socialist paradise, with a model health care and education system that we should actually emulate. But the Cuban people see a different reality, an open-air prison that communism has run right into the ground since the 1950s.
Okay, this is very important context. And they also have an entertainer named Pitbull, who's Cuban-American, who actually spoke meaningfully and better than many politicians, speaking on Cuba. This is 10A.
This is a message to the world. We need to stand up, step up, but if you don't understand what's going on, then you need to wake up. Not only is this a Cuba event, a Cuba thing, this is a world event. This isn't about politics. This is about saving lives. This is about unity, not division. And bottom line, this is about taking action. Let me tell you something, why I'm frustrated and when I see everybody out there and doing what they're doing, which I love what they're doing. Okay? Because not only do we live for freedom, we ride for freedom, we die for freedom, but we must appreciate freedom. And it gets me hot, it bothers me, and it frustrates me to a certain extent, being a Cuban American and having a platform to speak to the world and not being able to help my own people. Not being able to get them food, not being able to get them water, not being able to get them medicine. But most of all, not being able to help and really get them what they deserve, which is freedom. And this is my way of talking to the world. All world allies, get together to help. Global businesses, get together to help.
Okay, and then quickly he spoke about the real meaning of freedom for Cuban people, 10B.
We need to get creative. We need to figure out solutions while they're losing their lives over there literally for something that we wake up every day and appreciate, which is freedom. So to everybody out there, stand up, step up, and if you don't understand, get with the motherfucking program and wake up.
Okay.
Because this is about freedom and it's about human rights. And to everybody in Cuba, keep the fight up. Para todos los cubanos que están allá afuera y todo lo que está pasando en Cuba ahora mismo.
Okay, this is actually maybe there's a little bit of beeping there that's necessary because of FCC rules and others, but the message is powerful and worth hearing and echoing. Speaking a message that's powerful and worth hearing and echoing, everybody that I know talks about the homeless encampments, the deterioration of lifestyle, particularly in downtown Seattle. Now King County might actually do something about it. We'll be speaking with Council Member Reagan Dunn, who actually has a fairly comprehensive, ambitious program to do something about the state of our streets. What does it involve? We will get to that and much more coming up in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.